Now that's almost the end of this month's podcast, and so far we've had a good insight into magnetic fields, properties, and materials. So now we hear about a group of materials that, in a recent paper published in Science, have been proven to have a certain type of magnet present. Explaining more,
here's one of the authors on the paper, Professor Stephen Lovesey from Diamond Light Source.
When you ask yourself what is the property of a material which generates magnetism, it is the fact that you have broken the symmetry with respect to the arrow of time. There is another symmetry, and that is the symmetry with respect to the direction of space. And you can see this, for example, when you look at your hand in a mirror. Your hand is changed from being left-handed to right-handed, and this is a direct observation of the fact that you have changed the direction of space. When you combine both the breaking of the direction of time with the direction of space, you generate a very special type of magnetism, which is called the anapole. They're also called orbital currents, and the anapole has been thought to be most important in understanding a complex set of materials which are also able to conduct electricity without any resistance, so-called superconductors.
Just to step back a little bit there, so there are different types of magnets really. So there are the dipoles that people know with the typical kind of north-south divide, and then there are these anapoles.
That's quite correct. The dipole moment, for example, your compass needle, has the property that it does break the direction of time, the arrow of time in a material. It is also characterized by the fact that if you change the direction of space, it remains unchanged. The characteristic feature of the anapole is that they have the property that they also change their behavior if you change the direction of space. Now, these anapoles can only be observed with light. So if you take a material and you illuminate it with light or X-rays, it gives you a method of imaging these anapoles.
Now, you've been looking for the presence of these anapoles in high-temperature superconductors. These are materials that, once they reach a certain temperature, they lose their resistance and are able to have electric currents permanently flowing through.
Yes, as you lower the temperature of a superconducting material, and some of the materials are extremely simple, they're elemental, then they lose the resistance to the passage of an electric current. Now, unfortunately, the temperature at which this desirable property comes about is very low. So in the practical application, say for the transmission of electricity over power lines, it's not a practical solution to an efficient transmission, because you would have to have your cable at an extremely low temperature. The interest in this class of materials, which are called high-temperature superconductors, is that the temperature at which they have this desirable characteristic is much higher. It's almost at room temperature.
And now, well, these materials were discovered about, what, say, 25 years ago, but the workings of them are still very much not understood. And so this is what you've been studying. So it's thought that potentially these anapoles play a role in how they are able to have this property.
Well, 25 years on, what we have learned is that there is no single unique theory of these high-temperature superconducting materials. Each class of compound seems to have its own theory. But we still search for unifying themes. And one of the unifying themes that's been proposed is the existence of orbital currents, which hitherto I've been referring to as anapoles. The experiments that have been done at the Swiss Light Source by Valerio Scagnoli and Staub have shown very good evidence for the existence of the orbital currents in a prototype, a high-temperature superconducting material, which is very simple. It just contains two elements, copper and oxygen. And the proof, the experimental proof, that the orbital currents exist now gives us greater confidence in pursuing the types of theory for for which the orbital currents are an essential ingredient in the mix.
So the material that's been studied is copper oxide, which is really, I guess, a parent component of most high-temperature superconductors, because one example of a high-temperature superconductor is yttrium barium copper oxide. So the copper oxide is in there, and it's also in many others. So this is a good material to have studied.
Yes, I mean, it's good for two reasons. One, it is a parent. The second thing is, it's simple.
So this has provided an understanding of the workings, then, of these high-temperature superconductors, or at least one aspect of them.
This is the first experiment of its type, and the evidence is extremely solid.
This finding, though, has repercussions in other materials as well as high-temperature superconductors.
Yes, the building block that I've been talking about, the anapole, the other area of interest where they appear are so-called multiferroic materials. And these are materials which are both magnetic, so if they respond to an external magnetic field, but they are also polarized electrically. So they have both a definite magnetic polarization and also a definite electrical polarization. And these materials too appear to be characterized by the existence of the anapole.
And so what next then, having found the presence of this orbital?
We will explore copper oxide still further. And the technique will be then used, if you like, on real high-temperature superconductors, which contain four or five elements, chemically much more complicated, because now we have a sure footing, a good understanding of how to do the experiments and how to understand the results of the experiments.
Stephen Lovesey, Professor of Theoretical Physics at Diamond Light Source and the ISIS Neutron Source in Oxfordshire. Now that is it for this month's podcast. But we'll be back in June with more research, news and events from Diamond. In the meantime, however, if you have any questions about Diamond or the research that you've heard about in this podcast, or else if you have any suggestions for what you'd like to hear more about, email podcast@diamond.ac.uk. Thank you very much this month to Steve Collins, Paolo Ridelli, Sarah Boundy and Stephen Lovesey. I'm Mira Senthilingam and thank you for listening.
The Diamond Podcast is brought to you by Diamond Light Source and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information on our website at diamond.ac.uk/podcast.